I'm Biker Bob, and this is the Biker Bob Podcast. Here we talk about the three B's, bikes, booze, and broads, not necessarily in that order. All right, stop the music. I got some important things to talk about. Thank you very much. First of all, I want to say this is my very first podcast, the Biker Bob Podcast, so I hope I don't fuck it up too bad, you know what I mean? But I got some important things to talk about in the biking world, and I'm sure if you're a biker, you can relate to me. So here we go. First of all, let's talk about bikes. Now, the best bike I ever owned was the first bike I ever had. And it was a 1955 Harley-Davidson Panhead, an FLH Panhead. Now, this is the kind they were made in the early year production model, and it was built during the first 6 months of 1955. Now, the Pan's valve covers only have 6 bolts attaching them to the heads. Mid-year production models have 12 bolts per cover. Now, these are the correct covers, gaskets, and heads, all with 6 bolts. Well, I went down to see old Charlie one day, and I see that old Panhead beside his house. It was all junked out and flat tires, and the seat was ripped. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, old Charlie, what are you going to do with that old bike?" He said, "Well," he said, "Bobby, I'm just going to junk it out, I think. It ain't much for running no more." Well, I said, "Old Charlie, how much you want for that old bike?" He said, "Bobby, I'll tell you what. You come down here Saturday morning and help me cut and split my firewood for the winter, and that bike is yours." Well, man, I want to tell you, that was one of the hardest weekends I ever worked. But I left there Sunday night pushing that old bike home. And I was happy. I was happier than fleas on a hound dog, let me tell you right now. Well, for the next 6 months, I worked odd jobs and saved my money to fix that bike up. At that time, I didn't know too much about bikes. But there was this biker in town, this old biker guy, and we just called him Snake. And he lived about a mile and a half down the road from me. So I went down and I talked to him one day. He said, "Sure, bring it on down. We'll see what we can do." So I went back home and I pushed that bike for a mile and a half down that road, flat tires and all. Man. But Snake, he knew his bikes, man. In about a year and a half, I had that bike on the road, thanks to Snake. Man, I busted my ass to get that bike on the road, too. Cost me $2,300. Of course, that was a lot of money back in those days. It sure would have cost a hell of a lot more now to get that thing restored and ready for the road. But man, I did it. Some guy offered to buy it off me in 1973 for $4,200. Man, of course I took it. That was more money than I'd ever seen in my life. And I figured, well, I'll sell this old bike and upgrade to something newer. Stupid-ass kid. Man, if I had that bike right now, you know how much that'd be worth? That'd be worth about 50 or 60 grand by now. Dumbass. Now, the next bike I owned was a 1967 Harley-Davidson Electroglide. Now, this bike engine was made between 1966 and 69, they put in them. The bottom half of the engine resembles a Panhead, but it ain't a Panhead. And the lower half, because of the generator's lower appearance. Now, the shovel heads of the bike, it has all kinds of nicknames. You got Pan Shovel, Slab Shovel, Slab Side Shovel, Jenny Shovel, kidney shovel. Oh, it had all kinds of nicknames. Well, you know, man, I've had more bikes in my life than I have paychecks, and that's the truth, I'll tell you. And right now, I've got me a sweet, sweet 1995, and I mean sweet Harley-Davidson Electra Glide Ultra Classic. That thing's got everything on it. Loaded up with all the goodies. Premier audio speakers, driver's backrest, highway bars and pegs, and a slash-cut Python exhaust makes it sound cool as it looks. I'll tell you, you know it's me when I'm coming down the road, man. Biker Bob is styling and profiling the Harley-Davidson way. Which brings me to the second B, booze. Only two words, Jack Daniels. That shit has gotten me in more trouble, more arguments, more fights than anything in my life I've ever dealt. Jack Daniel, that stuff is instant busthead, I'll tell you. But it depends on how you drink it. Of course, it's Tennessee sipping whiskey, but back in the day when I was younger, I didn't sip anything. You just guzzled it, and that's not how you drink Jack Daniels. That reminds me of a time I was in the bar with two of my best friends. We were sitting there at the table, just talking, drinking our beer, and this drunk walks over, staggers over to the table, leans over, and he looked me right in the eye, and he says, "I went by your grandma's house today, and I saw her in the hallway buck naked. Man, she's one fine-looking woman." Well, my buddies all looked at me. I didn't say a word. They looked confused because they thought I was going to get up and beat the hell out of this guy. Well, the drunk leans over the table again. He says, "I got it on with your grandma, and she's good. The best I ever had." Well, all my buddies are really looking at me this time. They're getting pissed. And I still sat there, and I didn't say nothing. Then the drunk leaned over again at the table one more time, looked me in the eye, and says, "I'll tell you something else, boy. Your grandma liked it." Now, at this point, my two buddies stand up. I said, "Hey, no problem." I went over and I took him right by the shoulders, looked him right square in the eye, and I said, "Grandpa, go home. You're drunk." Man, I'll tell you, bad shit can happen if you drink too much and you don't have control of yourself. I know. I got the scars to prove it. Why, I went into a bar one time, I remember, and I was drinking maybe a little too much. I went in the front door and I ordered a drink, and the bartender said, "No way, buddy, you're too drunk." Well, a few minutes later, I come through the bathroom, and again I ask, "Give me a drink." And the bartender says, "No way, man. I told you last time you're too drunk." Well, about 5 minutes later, I come through the back door and ordered a drink. And again, the bartender says, "Hey, man, you're too drunk." I scratched my head and I said, "Dang, I must be. The last two places said the same thing." Man, I tell you, bad shit can happen when you get drunk. All right, one more bar story. All right, one day I was riding, and it was a hot, sunny day, and I was looking for a place to have a nice, cool beer. Well, I pulled in this little town, and I noticed some choppers and some bikers at a little bar. So I pulled in, and I go in the bar to have a beer. Well, I noticed a lot of bikers in there was wearing their patches and some wearing their colors, and some of these guys really looked bad. So I decided I better take my gun in with me into the bar. Well, I parked my bike right by the front door. And some of these bikers decided to mess with me a little bit. Decided I'd better let them know that I was tough too. Well, I ordered a beer and decided to walk outside and check on my bike. And wow, it was gone, not there. I walked back inside and I pulled out my gun. I fired a shot in a wooden post just to get everybody's attention. And I shouted, "Look here, my damn bike is missing outside. And when I finish my beer and I go back outside, it better be where I left it. Because I don't want to have to do what I did the last bar my bike went missing. So I sit down, and the bikers got real quiet. A bartender come over and asked, "What'd you do the last time your bike was missing at the bar?" "I'll tell you when I finish this beer," I said to him. "I'll step outside and see if my motorcycle's where I left it." So I finish my beer, walk outside, check on my bike, and wow, it was back and right where I parked it. Well, I walk back in the bar and I said, "I'll be leaving now. You guys have a good day." Before I left, the bartender come up and said, "Hey, wait a minute. What'd you do the last time you was at the bar and someone took your bike?" And I replied, "Well, I called a taxi. What else was I going to do?" Okay, we've talked about bikes and booze. And now it's time to talk about the most complicated one of all, the third B, broads. You know, I swear if I live to be 100, I'll never figure out broads. Now, I've got a broad. Her name is Doris. We've been together so long. I met Doris at a Who concert in L.A. back in 1978, and we've been together ever since. Oh, we've had our battles. Don't get me wrong. True love never runs smooth. But you know, there's something about Doris that I've always loved. Her and I just kind of click, I guess. They call it kind of chemistry, I guess. I like her and she likes me. And we enjoy being around each other. Each other's company. I mean, she likes bikes. I like bikes. She's got some real nice tattoos. And she's the only one I know who can't drink me under the table. But she'd never admit that. No, Doris and I, we go together like Harley and Davidson. You know, we just fit together. Now, through the years being around Doris and other women, I have come up with a list of things that would determine whether you should be with that woman or not be with that woman. Now, this list consists of the ideal wife. If she says things like, "Honey, are you sure you have enough beer for tonight?" Or, "I love you working on the bike on Saturdays. We should do it together on Sundays." Or, "Honey, I've decided to be naked at home." Or, "You are so sexy when you're hungry." Or, "Sweetheart, what kind of brakes do you want me to buy for your bike?" Or, "Do you mind if we watch the game together tonight and finish a dozen of beers?" Or, "I'm going to wash the bike." Or, "No, no, no, I'm changing the motor oil this time." Or, "Forget about St. Valentine, we can go for a bike show instead." Or, "Your mother is so much better than me." Or, "That's enough, I don't want to go for shopping anymore. We better stay home, rent some hot movies, and I can invite one of my girlfriends to join us." Or, "Listen, a new lap dancing club opened in town. Why don't we go and take a look?" Or, "Honey, I just enrolled myself in yoga classes to learn how to put my legs between my neck. Only for you, sweetheart." Now, if you have a woman that says any or all of those things to you, marry her. You got to remember, if you're a biker, there's other women out there checking you out, maybe trying to pick you up. You got to be aware. Why, I remember one situation one time. I was out riding my bike in the country, and I pulled up to this bar in the middle of nowhere. Well, I parked my bike, and I walked inside, and I went through the swinging doors, and I saw a sign hanging over the bar. It said, "Cold beer, $2. Hamburger, $2.25. Cheeseburger, $2.50. Chicken sandwich, $3.50. And hand job, $50. Well, I checked in my wallet to see if I had enough money. And I walked up to the bar and I beckoned to the exceptionally attractive female bartender who was serving drinks to a couple of other bikers. Well, she glided down behind the bar to where I was at. And she said, "Yes?" with a sexy smile. "May I help you?" Well, I leaned over the bar and I said, "I was wondering, young lady, are you the one who gives the hand jobs?" Well, she looked into my eyes with a wide smile and purrs, "Why, yes. Yes, I am." Well, I leaned closer into her left ear and I whispered softly, "Well, wash your hands real good, because I want a cheeseburger." Now, if you wake up in the morning beside your old lady, and the first thing that runs through your mind is, "Gee, I wonder if my bike will start," you've probably been together too long. And if you can't remember your kids' names or birthdays, but you can remember that Harley Davidson made the Knucklehead, Panhead, Shovelhead, Evolution, and a Twin Cam 88, maybe you ain't spending enough time at home. Think about that. And you know, I've also learned that it's the little things you men do that make women happy. For example, I remember when Doris and I first got married. I went out to a party one night and I came home a little intoxicated. And I remember waking up. I'm laying there and I force my eyes open. And the first thing I see beside the bed is a couple of aspirin and a glass of water on the side table. Well, I sit up and I saw my clothes in front of me, all clean and pressed. And I look around the room and it's in perfect order, spotless, clean. So is the rest of the house. Well, I took the aspirin and I noticed a note on the table says, "Honey, breakfast is in the stove. I left early to go shopping. Love you." Well, so I go in the kitchen and sure enough, there's a hot breakfast and a morning newspaper. Well, Doris's boy is also at the table eating. I say, "Son, what happened last night?" Well, Doris's boy says, "Well, you came home after 3 a.m. drunk and delirious, broke some furniture, threw up in the hallway, and gave yourself a black eye when you stumbled into the door." Wow. So why is everything in order and so clean? And breakfast is on the table waiting for me. Well, her boy replied, "Oh, that. Mom dragged you to the bedroom, and when she tried to take your pants off, you said, 'Woman, leave me alone. I'm married.'" Well, I guess Doris kind of appreciated that. And you know, sometimes women can really mess your mind up. For example, I got this buddy named Snake. And he says his greatest achievement was his brood of 6 kids. Now, he was so proud that he continually called his old lady mother of 6, which pissed her off a lot. But he kept referring to her as mother of 6, no matter where they went. Well, at the end of a poker run one time, he shouted across the bar, "Hey, mother of 6, you ready to go home?" Well, she was pissed off, and she yelled back across the bar, "Anytime you're ready, father of 4. Boy, that really messed Snake up. Well, you know, sometimes I think it's best to own a good motorcycle than a good woman. Well, why motorcycles are better than women? Well, your motorcycle doesn't get upset when you forget its birthday. And you don't have to talk to your motorcycle after you ride it. And your motorcycle doesn't get mad when you ignore it for a month or so. And your motorcycle won't wake you up at 3 a.m. and ask you if you love it. And your motorcycle won't leave you for another rider. You don't have to pay alimony to an ex-motorcycle. And if you say bad things to your motorcycles, you don't have to apologize before you can ride her again. And if your motorcycle doesn't look good, you can paint it or get better parts. And if your motorcycle makes too much noise, you can buy a muffler." Well, I guess we're winding down the first Biker Bob podcast. I hope this podcast has been some help to you, giving you some information about the three B's, bikes, booze, and broads. Well, till next time, this is Biker Bob saying, live to ride, ride to live. Hell yeah, I'm out of here.
And what the world